The rollout of 5G service in America and the dust up between airlines and cell service providers and regulators had us scratching our heads and wondering what is up with 5G. We're talking about it on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have the tech editor of Scientific American to clear the air, so to speak, and field your questions, 800-642-1234. But first, thousands of people who aided the U.S. in Afghanistan suddenly left their lives behind last August when the Taliban seized control of the country's capital and American military evacuated their allies. Those Afghans are finally arriving at their new homes in Wisconsin and across the country in recent months. As Hope Kerwin reports, some Afghans say they're preparing to navigate the culture shock and potential immigration barriers they'll face as they start their new lives.
Shir Khan, his wife, and three children arrived at Fort McCoy in western Wisconsin in September. At first, their days were filled with immigration paperwork and getting used to their new surroundings. But waiting for their resettlement placement in Massachusetts became harder as winter weather forced them inside and left them with little to do. Before finally leaving for their new home in mid-January, Khan said they were most looking forward to having privacy again after living in a communal barracks with several other families.
People from different backgrounds came here. Like sometimes it is noisy inside. Sometimes we don't get along well.
Khan is a journalist. In Kabul, he worked for a company that implemented U.S.-funded projects. Khan said he had no plans to leave his home country before Kabul fell to the Taliban last August. His work made him a target of the armed Islamist group. And he wanted his children to get a better education than what would be possible under Taliban rule. But leaving their life behind hasn't been easy.
I was part of the middle class because I had job, I had house, I had family and friends, relatives, and connections with the people who were somehow in power. But when we came here, like, we lost control of almost everything.
Khan said he's grateful that he and his family survived and are now safe, but he knows adjusting to life in America will be difficult at first. He hopes his new neighbors will be understanding.
I might speak English. That's understandable, but that doesn't necessarily mean I know every single thing about the culture. That's why some people, including me, might behave strangely.
This culture shock is something Matula Mate and his family are navigating 1 month after arriving at their new home in Wausau. Mate says there are a lot of new systems to learn, like American traffic signals.
If the traffic light be the red, they might be crossing and thinking this is the walkway.
Mate is a tribal leader from southern Afghanistan. He worked for the U.S. Marines for 5 years, helping to recruit local workers for infrastructure projects. Mate says those military connections are what helped him escape with his wife and 6 children shortly after the Taliban's takeover. After months of staying on a military base in Virginia, they now live in a small 2-story home within walking distance of a bus stop and grocery store. Mate says his family has gotten a warm welcome in Wausau, and he's enjoyed getting to know his new neighbors, sometimes hosting them in his home over milk tea.
We are Afghans, like having more guests.
Mate says he's working on plans to start his own business, but his biggest worry is that his application for a special immigration visa, often called an SIV, hasn't been approved yet.
That is not only difficult for me or problem for me, that is the problem for all Afghans, especially for those people whom can't speak English.
He imagines for non-English speakers, the process can feel like fumbling in the dark. Because of their work for the U.S., Mate and Shir Khan are able to apply for an SIV. Other Afghans are eligible for special priority in the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program because of their work or identity. But Madison-based immigration attorney Grant Sovereign says everyone else will have to quickly apply for asylum once they reach their new address. And he agrees with Mate that many would struggle to navigate the process on their own.
It is inherently difficult for somebody who doesn't speak the language, has just come from a traumatic situation, which is basically anyone applying for asylum, and not having the means to get that kind of help.
Sovereign says Congress could create an easier path to residency for evacuees, but he thinks that's unlikely given the controversy around immigration. Mate says he's still hopeful that policymakers will take action to help Afghans like him. He says residency would allow him to travel one day and offer him security about his future in the U.S. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And the story was produced in collaboration with PBS Wisconsin. Now to the botched 5G rollout of wireless networks and what it means for consumers and the future of connectivity. In recent weeks, we learned of some flights being canceled due to concerns over the rollout of 5G by the telecoms. What do you want to know about 5G or about the frequencies that AT&T and Verizon need for their 5G services? 800-642-1234. Sophie Bushwick is technology editor at Scientific American. Sophie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's level set on 5G, just so we're all on the same page. What is fifth generation transmitters, or 5G, from AT&T and Verizon?
So 5G is the latest connection protocol for cell phones, mobile devices, and even Internet of Things devices. And since the advent of cell phones and cell phone networks, we've had multiple generations. The difference between 4G and 5G is that 5G is going to bring faster speeds and what's called lower latency, which means less lag time. So the idea is that you'll be able to achieve, downloading a lot of data very quickly, and that it'll be a smoother transition from using your phone for high data needs, like say downloading a movie in a couple minutes, versus for using it for low data needs. Your phone will be able to switch back and forth between requiring those super fast speeds and using less energy when it doesn't need to use those speeds.
Okay, so where is T-Mobile here? Why are we only hearing about AT&T and Verizon on this 5G rollout situation?
5G is happening pretty gradually, and it's very dependent on the infrastructure. So it's not just about getting the technology into the phones. It's about setting up cell towers and about having more more transceivers, more radio transceivers closer together. So the idea is that instead of a really broad area covered by a single tower, eventually you would have smaller areas covered by more towers that are less onerous to construct and sort of smaller. And the idea behind that is that 5G contains a whole bunch of different wavelengths, including the millimeter band, which is the ones that get you those super fast speeds. But the really fast speed wavelengths don't cover as much distance. And there are also wavelengths that cover a greater distance, but maybe don't get you those super fast speeds that people are looking forward to with 5G. So the entire rollout is happening quite slowly. So you might own a 5G phone, but not yet have access to a 5G network. Or if you do have access to a 5G network, it might not be running at those blazing fast speeds that people were talking about when the concept of 5G was first introduced. So this is a very gradual step-by-step process to getting this technology implemented.
Well, when you talk about those transmitters, that gets us to what happened around the airports. You know, Verizon and AT&T, they had planned to roll out 5G services to customers, in a big way nearly 2 weeks ago. What happened around some airports?
So airlines said AT&T and Verizon were planning to activate a certain range of that 5G bandwidth called the C-band. Mm-hmm. And they said, look, we're worried that this particular band frequencies is going to interfere with an instrument called an altimeter, a radio altimeter. So some planes use an older model of this device, which helps in low visibility conditions. It helps the plane gauge its distance to the ground so that it can land safely, even if it's hard to see visibly. And these use a band of radio frequencies that airlines and the Federal Aviation Administration, the government agency, they worried that there's the possibility of 5G signals interfering with this band, which could be a big problem for planes that have this type of altimeter trying to land. And they said they hadn't finished testing all of the potential. So there's more than one different kind of radio altimeter. Some of them might be totally fine to function in with 5G running at the same time. Some of them might not be. And the FAA said, look, we haven't had time to test all of these. And your rollout, if you roll this out, we're going to say it's dangerous for planes with the untested altimeters to run. And we're going to have to cancel flights and ground these planes unless you can delay the rollout of 5G around airports. So the FAA named about 50 major U.S. airports around which Verizon and AT&T have not yet rolled out their C-band frequencies. They're creating a sort of physical buffer zone around those airports to avoid, having any interference there.
Well, this gets me to my question that the FAA and the aviation industry and these telecoms and regulators, they've been discussing and weighing in on these interference concerns for years now. Why is it all coming to a head now? Why are we only hearing about this now?
The issue seems to be one of miscommunication. Like you said, you've got commercial industry members. So we've got the telecom industry, and we've got the Federal Communications Commission, which is the government agency in charge of allotting all these different radio spectrums and these different frequencies. And on the other side, you've got the aviation industry and the government body in charge of them, the FAA. And it seems like there was just a lot of talk, but not a lot of agreement between the two groups. So the FCC says, look, we set aside a certain band of frequencies that 5G isn't allowed to go into that should serve to protect the band of frequencies that altimeters use, and everything should be fine. And then the FAA said, no, actually, we don't believe that that's going to be fine. We don't have proof that that's sufficient. And when it comes to plane safety, we want to be extra careful and absolutely positive that we're not going to have any problems with planes here because, you know, there's human beings in these planes. We don't want to have any issues landing these aircraft. And it seems like the members of the two different agencies just did not get on board and in agreement. And so it sort of came down to the wire where it was almost time for these 5G networks to go on. And the FAA said, we're still not confident. And so airlines were saying that they were going to have to ground planes and cancel flights to make sure that no planes that used untested or unconfirmed altimeters would be in danger.
Would be in the air. Scientific American technology editor Sophie Bushwick, our guide to the unfolding issues around 5G rollout in our country. How concerned are you about the potential for 5G to cause wireless interference? What does the rollout of 5G say about the coordination here between policymakers and the private sector around technology policy and real-world deployment? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Sophie Bushwick here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the launch of 5G or fifth generation wireless service and the Federal Aviation Administration giving a green light on Friday to telecom companies AT&T and Verizon to be able to turn on more 5G towers as they deploy service in major markets. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What do you wonder about the 5G deployment? The World Health Organization says, quote, no adverse health effect has been causally linked with exposure to wireless technologies. Have you encountered misinformation on social media about 5G? 800-642-1234. Sophie Bushwick, technology editor at Scientific American, stays with us for about 7 more minutes. Let's go to Rick now in Evansville. Rick, hi, what's on your mind about 5G?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. The question I have is everybody's hyping this 5G, and we had to go out and get 5G-compatible phones when in the vast majority of the state of Wisconsin, we can't even get 3G coverage. And there are many places in the state where LTE coverage is very spotty. And, you know, why are they so hyping the 5G? Why don't we focus on getting good quality 3G coverage truly nationwide first?
So what Rick is saying here, Sophie, you know, the real life on the ground, vastly different than what we're seeing about the 5G talk.
Rick, I agree that there are definite issues about these companies advertising these 5G speeds when at the same time, we know that these networks don't give coverage to everybody. And this is a problem with cell network rollouts, like you've said, for multiple generations of this technology. I think the reason that they're not going to expand 3G is because now that the 5G technology exists, they don't want to go expand 3G because that won't do anything for the next generation of phones. I think the idea is that they want they're now focusing their efforts on 5G and making 5G have greater coverage rather than sort of going back to an earlier generation of the technology and giving that wider coverage. So I think what they'll need to do is build out the infrastructure for 5G so that it is more accessible, so that it is more widely available. But even then, I mentioned earlier that there's multiple bands of frequencies in 5G, and the ones that give you sort of slower speeds actually travel further. So it could be that there's some areas that have 5G, they're connected to a 5G network, but they're connected only to the sort of slower bandwidth waves. And that's an issue that I can see continuing. I think that there probably needs to be some sort of regulation or financial incentive for these companies to cover areas that need internet just as much as big hubs, but just haven't been able to get access to it.
Rick, thank you for that question. Garris now is joining us from Illinois. Garris, hi, you're a pilot.
Hi, yes, I'm an airline pilot, and I guess I just wanted to offer my take on the 5G rollout. Couple of things. The C-band that we're talking about here in the United States, the band was sold by the FCC to the carriers, obviously, in order to give them some more spectrum to operate on. In Europe, that same bandwidth is protected in their 5G rollouts, so that the same issue does not occur in Europe. So that's one thing that the Europeans have done in order to keep this from affecting aircraft. Another point I wanted to make is that the radio altimeter, the way it works is it sends a signal out and basically bounces off the ground, comes back to the aircraft to tell how high above the ground it is. Now, that only works when the aircraft is fairly low to the ground, normally less than 3,000 feet from the ground. That can be used for all kinds of different things. One item could be for low visibility approaches and being able to tell just how close you are to the ground. The aircraft, if it's going to land itself, in many cases, uses that particular technology to just tell how far it is from the ground. It's also used in other applications in an airplane, like landing gear systems and also terrain awareness. The aircraft oftentimes will tell you if you're close to terrain to warn you that, you're in a place where you're forgot where you're at, and it's warning you, hey, you're too close to the terrain. There's a lot of different things that this impacts. It's not just low visibility approaches, but
Garris, I think you provided a lot of great perspective here in just showing us how versatile and important altimeters are in the aircraft, but also pointing out that 5G has already been deployed in other countries. You mentioned France, Japan also having no issues. Sophie, what would you like to say there in response to Garris?
Yeah, I also want to thank you for providing your perspective on this. And yeah, it is true that other countries have had a smoother rollout. I think that the U.S. had the potential to set up some of the same safeguards they have in Europe to say, okay, parts of the 5G band won't be activated around airports, or it will run at like a lower power in certain zones to make sure that it doesn't interfere. I think this really, we had the potential to have as smooth a rollout as those other countries, but we had what seems to me to be an issue of lack of communication and lack of agreement between all of these different interested parties, between the telecom industry and regulators, between the aviation industry and the government oversight of that. And I think that just caused, because there wasn't agreement and communication, technology and the possibility was there, but it just wasn't put into practice as smoothly as it could have been.
In our last moments together, I want to shift gears entirely because 5G has been subject to so many conspiracy theories, so many false claims about electromagnetic interference. Why has 5G been the subject of so many conspiracy theories?
So even before 5G rolled out, there had been conspiracy theories and also just health worries about cell networks, about electromagnetic radiation. And I think 5G, because it was just the latest network, because it was hyped as being more powerful and stronger than previous generations of this technology, sort of absorbed some of those beliefs. And then I also think that the timing of the 5G rollout coincided with a pandemic and that a lot of people made connections in their heads that just didn't exist. And they, some conspiracy-minded folks were spreading ideas that there was some connection between the two.
Sophie, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sophie Bushwick is technology editor at Scientific American. Just ahead, we talk with two candidates running to be Milwaukee's next mayor as part of a series of conversations we hope to have with all candidates on the primary ballot. What questions would you like to ask the candidates? 800-642-1234. News Update is next here on the Ideas Network.